Welcome to the Riverside Church Podcast. Riverside Church is a community of believers striving side by side for the gospel in the greater New Orleans area. For more information about Riverside Church, go to riversidelife.org.
2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we are. We are continuing our series called Because He Lives. I thought about this series when I was, this is the truth, when I was preaching Easter Sunday, talking about the resurrection. A thought occurred to me as I looked at you and thinking, man, we should talk a little bit more about the resurrection and how it impacts our lives each and every day and what difference it makes in our lives, not just on Easter Sunday, but every day of the week. And so that's what we've been doing over the course of the last week and for some weeks following. We'll be looking at several passages in Scripture that speak of the resurrection and how it impacts our life, how it changes our lives here today, so that when we wake up, Lord willing, tomorrow morning, it is different because Christ has been raised from the dead. Think for me a moment, men, you'll recognize this question from our men's study. Are there phrases, are descriptors or words that have been used about you, whether about yourself or someone who has said to you, that play in your head either like a banner or a broken record? Maybe you would answer that question like this, that my name, fill in the blank for me, my name is, hopefully you know that one. If not, I'm willing to talk with you after the service. I am a blank. If someone were to ask you something like that, or you introduce yourself to someone, and my name is Jared, and I am what? The first blank should be pretty easy. I suspect that you know your name. Typically, what pops in our heads in that second blank is one of our roles or jobs, or as we've talked about in the men's study, one of our assignments in life, something that the Lord has given you to do and use your life for. It's something that usually revolves around our outward appearance and not necessarily our heart. Something that we see ourselves doing, not necessarily our identity. It's something of your resume, that my name is and I am what? And so a question for us this morning is that when you see yourself, do you regard yourself according to the flesh, to pick up some of the language of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Do you regard yourself according to the flesh, to outward appearances, and do you seek to find your identity in that thing or those things? How do you regard yourself and others this morning? And even asking yourselves the question, not just how do you regard yourself, but how can we see more than what we see? How can we see our identity, something beyond just something that we do or roles or jobs or assignments that the Lord has given us in this life? Well, Paul in his letter, we see this, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12, Paul says that we're not committing ourselves so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance, not what is in the heart. One of the issues that Paul is addressing in this chapter and really in this letter is regarding people according to the flesh. Regarding people and yourself according to human perspective or worldly perspective. In other words, looking out the outward appearance rather than the heart. And we know that the Lord doesn't look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So how can we see in that way? Here's what's going on in the second letter to Corinthians briefly. As some folks in the church in Corinth didn't like Paul's assignment as an apostle when he has called them out repeatedly in 1 Corinthians, in the first letter that he wrote to them. In fact, some false teachers have risen up, which Paul calls, probably kind of tongue-in-cheek, super apostles. These false teachers have risen up, and they're trying to discredit Paul's ministry in Corinth. And what they are doing is that they are leveraging their outer appearance in order to dissuade people from the message of Paul that if anyone is in Christ, they are new creations. The simple message of the gospel, which is foolishness to the world, and And they try to discredit Paul's message, and the way that they are doing it is through outward appearance. They're leveraging their appearance, their ability to engage in rhetoric and their credentials. And on the outside, these false teachers look good. The false apostles are concerned with external qualifications, not a heart changed by the Spirit. And so when we get into 2 Corinthians chapter 5, by the way, 2 Corinthians is a very difficult letter to follow Paul's train of thought. And so there's a lot that goes on in 2 Corinthians. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul is starting to get us to look not at the earthly perspective, not to judge people according to their resume, but by the Spirit. And his message is simple. If anyone is in Christ, here is who you are. You are a new creation. Therefore, he says, we no longer regard or value or appraise ourselves according to the flesh, but according to who we are in Christ, which is a new creation. And so the main point of what Paul's driving at and what we'll drive at this morning is if we are in Christ, we are new creations. And therefore, this is how this makes a difference in our lives. If we're going to kind of articulate some of those differences that Paul points out here, how this impacts our lives. Therefore, we see ourselves and others and our life completely differently because of who we are in Christ. That we are alive in Christ, as we saw last week, and now we're going to see that we are new in Christ, and in this newness, we now see others, ourselves, our assignments, our world differently, because we are alive in Christ. Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. Do you see it there? It says, and so here's how we see now. He died for all, that we no longer live for ourselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. We now live our lives for the sake of the resurrected Christ who for our sake died and was raised for us. And so that's what we're going to see this morning. Let's see the flow of thought in this text, and then we'll get to those three points of that we see ourselves differently, we see others differently, and we see our very lives differently. So we see in the flow of thought in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that you're no longer going to live for yourself, but for the sake of the one who died and was raised for you. If you back up, if you have your Bibles open before you, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, Paul says this, is that in this life, we make it our aim to please him. Why? Because we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And so that's kind of the context that the rest of these verses are flowing out of. And what Paul is saying, this beautiful chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is that we have an eternal hope. That we have an eternal home, and we are heading for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, so that if we were to die today, this mortal body will be swallowed up by life and not death, because we are sealed with the Spirit as a guarantee. Therefore, we are of good courage. And so what Paul has in mind is this future resurrection. And so the resurrection of Christ and the promise of his future resurrection is Paul's motivation for living for Christ today. Because he will be raised with Christ and he will appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for his life. Therefore, he makes it his aim today because of the resurrected Christ and what that means in his life to live for Christ today. That his very life is anchored and driven and motivated by the resurrection of Christ and his future resurrection. So much so that he says in this life, I won't walk by sight, but now I'm walking by faith. And so this is what's driving into these next verses. This is what Paul's living for, and that's why he goes on to say that we have reached this conclusion. Because that Christ has died and has been raised on our behalf, we have reached this conclusion that now what compels us, what hems us in, what drives us is the love of Christ and the fear of the Lord. And so now we are living, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 and onward, that now what's driving our lives is the fear of the Lord, because we're going to appear before the judgment seat of God, and that for the love of Christ, because he loves us, that he gave his life for us, he became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And he loves us. He was raised for us. And so now we will live lives centered on this good news, because the resurrection is coming. And so here's what he says. Paul loves all of these therefores. He kind of carries on his conversation. And he says this here, that one thing leads to another. Often you'll see in his letters, he says therefore or so that. And so he's making these points that one thing leads to another. So because of the future resurrection, because of what's coming, because he's living for that day, so therefore, says a few things that you can see. Therefore, we persuade others, verse 11, because all will appear before the judgment seat. So he sees himself and others differently. Verse 16, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, because now we are influenced by something else, not the flesh, namely the fear of the Lord and the love of Christ. And so therefore, now we regard no one according to the flesh because of the resurrection, because of our future in glory. Because of that, therefore, we persuade one another. We regard no one according to the flesh. And therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. And therefore, he goes on to say, you can see it in your Bibles, that we are ambassadors for Christ. So how does all this work out? How can we say this in three phrases? Well, here's the three that I'll present to you this morning. Because he lives, we see ourselves differently. Because he lives, we see ourselves differently. How do we regard our lives? How do we judge our lives? How do we give meaning to our lives? How do we see our lives? Outward appearance or by faith? This is a key to what's going on here is really, what are you looking at? He's asking us, where are our eyes? How can we see like this? And he says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And so Paul is telling us as he goes through all of these therefores is that the way you start to see your life differently, the way you start to see other people differently, the way that you walk as an ambassador for Christ, the way that you live your life with your aim to please him is first and foremost, you need to see yourself in Christ as a new creation. Do you see that key text there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, we mentioned this last week, but it's worth mentioning again. You see this phrase that Paul loves to use, that we see it hundreds of times over the course of the scripture. This idea of being in Christ, or Christ being in us. What Paul is speaking of is our union with Christ. That therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if this is true for you, how do we become united with Christ? We become united by Christ by grace through faith. And if anyone places their faith in Jesus Christ, they become united with Christ. And this is a big truth to understand, in understanding salvation and life in Christ. Jesus says it like this. Remember, if it abide in me, and I in you. So Jesus talks about this, of us abiding in him and him in us, that apart from him, you can do nothing. And so we can take the words of Christ there and say, you will never see your life in the proper way unless you are abiding in Christ. Our salvation in all of its parts and benefits are found in Christ. Let me give you a few. The Bible says that in Christ, we are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. It says that in Christ and in his obedient life, his substitutionary death, his victorious resurrection and ascension, that in Christ, we are seated with him in the heavenly places. In Christ, we have died. In Christ, we have been raised. In Christ, we are counted righteous. We die in Christ. We are raised in Christ. We are seated with Christ. In Christ, all the benefits of Christ are ours. In Christ, we are chosen. We are called. We are justified. We are adopted. We are sanctified. We are glorified. We are secure. We have an identity. We have purpose. We have power. All because of this one beautiful truth that you are in Christ. And all that is His is ours. That will cause you to live your life differently. And if you are not in Christ, the good news of the gospel is that you can come to Christ today by placing your faith and trust in Christ, and He will raise you to life. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. This expression "in Christ" sums up briefly and profoundly as possible the inexhaustible significance of man's redemption. It speaks of our security in Him. It speaks of our acceptance in Him, in whom God is well pleased. It speaks of our assurance of our future with Him, who is the resurrection and the life. It speaks of our inheritance of glory in Him. All of this expressed in Christ. In Christ, this is who you are. This gives us identity and purpose. Funny enough, I just talked to someone this morning about a theologian and pastor named Ray Ortland. And I have a Ray Ortland quote in my sermon this morning. He says, "Union with Christ, His centrality in my story, with all His complete all-sufficiency, meets all my needs today." He is the centrality of our story. He is who we are if we are in Christ. And without this truth, you will not have clear identity. The goalpost will always be moving. You'll always be struggling to find who you are or what you're supposed to be doing. But your perspective will change. In Christ, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what are we? We are a new creation. Look at what it says. The old has passed away. Behold, He is saying, look. If you want to look differently, if you want to see yourself differently, here's what He's saying. Then understand who you are in Christ. You are a new creation. Now look. Look is what He has done. The old has passed away. And look, the new has come. That you are no longer identified by your past. You are no longer identified by your sin. You're no longer identified by your ability. You are now identified as one who is in Christ and who out of nothing has raised you to life. Behold, you are a new creation. That being in Christ isn't about adding a little something new to your life, but a brand new identity to die and be raised with Him. If anyone is in Christ, look. So, how do you see yourself? If you are in Christ, look. Behold. Set your eyes on this glorious reality of who you are. You were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. You've been born again in Him. You've been regenerated in Him. You've been raised to new life in Him. You are justified in Him. You are sanctified and being sanctified in Him. You will be glorified in Him. And you will be seated with Him in the heavenly places. You see yourself like that. You see your worth is in Christ. You will see your life completely differently. So how do we make it our aim to please Him? We don't look, is what Paul is saying, according to outward appearance. We don't regard ourselves according to flesh. He said, at one time I regarded Christ according to the flesh. I saw Him as not the Messiah. I just saw Him as a teacher. I just saw Him as a prophet. I didn't see Christ clearly. But now through the eyes of faith, I see Christ and I see myself that now I am a new creation. I no longer regard myself according to the flesh. Verse 16, though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is past and the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. I think there's another truth that we don't need to pass up here. is not only because he lives that we see ourselves differently. Because he lives, we need to understand that we see other people differently. That we see people around us. That we see people that God puts in our lives. We see our family members. We see our husbands and our wives, our spouses. We see our kids and we see our coworkers. We see our neighbors. We see all of those people that the Lord has put in your path. We start to see them differently because you see them, if you are in Christ, through the eyes of one who is a new creation, who is now walking by faith and not by sight. Who is walking with their aim to please him because you know the future is coming, that the resurrection is coming. You know the judgment seat of Christ is coming. And so you're living your life completely differently, not judging according to outward appearance as the super apostles do. You're judging according to something else. You're looking past the outside. You're looking at something different, not only in your own heart and own identity, but to all those that the Lord puts around you. We no longer regard ourselves or other people according to the flesh. And so this means that, brothers and sisters, we see each other and fellow believers through different eyes. Then that means we should see each other differently and treat each other differently, that we look at our brother and sister in Christ who is communing with us, who is sitting next to us, and we say they are beloved in Christ. That they have been bought with the precious blood of Christ and they are loved and cherished in him. And that's who they are. They're one of these brothers and sisters that will stand before the judgment seat of Christ with me. Like they're ones who the Lord loves, who is justified, who is sanctifying, who will glorify, who will raise up on the last day. That's who this person is. This is sometimes harder than we think. And I'm not sure which one's more difficult for you. Just think about it for a second. I'm not sure which one's more difficult for me. To see others in light of who is in Christ or to see yourselves in that way. Sometimes we're harder on ourselves than we need to be. And sometimes we're harder on others than we need to be. We're very gracious to ourselves and very hard on other people. And other times it's the other way around, but what's your struggle there? What Paul is saying is that the reason why we no longer regard Christ or his people according to the flesh, but now that we regard them with gospel regard, in light of the gospel, that believers are now new creations in Christ. They have been brought forth from bondage. They are his people. They are known by him. They are forgiven. And that is who they are. Christian, you are in Christ. You are a new creation. The old has passed out of existence. The eternally new has come. The law has been written on your heart. You're delivered. And now Paul is saying, therefore, we have this gospel regard for Christ as the crucified, risen, and reigning Savior. And we have this gospel regard for your brothers and sisters in Christ as new creations in Christ, that they too have been liberated from bondage of sin and are living out the glories that are ours in Christ. So we see other people differently because he lives. We see ourselves differently. We see other people differently, not only other Christians. But this means I think we see people who are not yet believers differently. We see them as those that need to be reconciled with God, that their biggest problem is that they're lost. Paul says that in one of his therefores in verse 11, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. That's what we do. That's what we're all about. We're not commending ourselves, but we're commending Christ to you. And so therefore, we regard no one out of the flesh. Therefore, we're persuading others. And therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And look what he says in verse 20. And therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. And that means you see other people as those that need to be reconciled to God. And that you have the ministry of reconciliation. And that God has made reconciliation possible through the work of his Son. Because he made sin, who knew no sin, to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He's done the work on the cross. That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So this means we see people differently. that Jesus now defines us, our standing before Christ defines us. We either see people as in Christ or in need of Christ. How do you see others? The last thing we see here is now we have gospel regard not only for ourselves, but now if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, look, the new has come. We see that about ourselves. We see that about other people. And we even see about other people that we persuade others because we don't see them according to the flesh. And the final thing that I want to point out to you this morning is that not only do we see ourselves differently and others differently, but we see our lives differently. We see our mission in life differently. We see our purpose in life differently. You heard it in verse 20, didn't you? That therefore, because you are a new creation, therefore, because we will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, therefore, because he has been raised, because we will be raised, because we're making our aim to please him, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ, that God is making his appeal to us, and we implore others on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. So whatever you do, all of our actions, whatever assignments God has given in your life, whether you are a husband, a manager, a worker, a salesman, a student, whatever your life looks like, if anyone is in Christ, therefore you are an ambassador for Christ, and you make it your aim to please him, because we answer to King Jesus, the one who we are an ambassador of. And so this means that even as Paul would go on to say in Philippians, that in Christ we can do all things through him who strengthens us. So now we're doing everything by the power of Christ in us because we are a new creation. That we labor in vain, we labor in the Lord, we obey in the Lord, we're strong in the Lord, we can do all things in the Lord. And as we do that, we do it as ambassadors for Christ because he's entrusted to us a ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. And therefore, we seek to persuade others because we have the best news in all of the world. The news that has made it to your heart, if you're a believer this morning, that you are reconciled with God. That you are reconciled with God. And all of this is from God, who, for our sake, made him be no sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it says this, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Be reconciled to God. And this is the heart of the gospel. So therefore, Paul says, because of what he's done for you, because he has died and was raised for you, and because you walk in newness of life, therefore you persuade others and you call others to be reconciled to God. What does your life look like? What do those assignments that the Lord has given you look like? Are you looking for peace or purpose in those things? In summation of all that, what Paul is saying, he's saying living out the righteousness of God was a burning concern for Paul. In terms of Paul's concern in this chapter, it means that we live our lives in the reality of the coming resurrection when we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It means serving God, motivating by both the fear of God and the love of Christ. It means being done with fleshly regard of Christ and others. It means regarding our brothers and sisters as new creations in Christ. It means embracing the ministry and message of reconciliation and in preaching this astonishing truth that he was made sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So let's finish by going back to our first question. Your name is, and I am, what? If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. You are chosen, called, born again, justified, adopted, sanctified, and will be glorified. Christian, if you die tonight, you will be swallowed up by life. If you wake up tomorrow, you are in Christ, a new creation, being renewed every day, seeing yourselves and others and your assignments through a new lens, that through your unchanging of identity as being a new creation in Christ, you no longer regard your life, your assignments, your identity, or others according to the flesh, but according to Christ. Let's pray.